congregation hear your words today and not mine, and let them hear you speaking to them, and help it to be a blessing to each one present here today. I ask in your name, amen. Okay, so the sermon title is Habits, Not What You Think. This is not a sermon which you probably are expecting. So, there is a quote in Acts of the Apostles that says, "The greatest praise that men can bring to God is to become consecrated channels through whom he can work. Time is rapidly passing into eternity. Let us not keep back from God that which is his own. Let us not refuse him that which, though it cannot be given with merit, cannot be denied without ruin. He asks for a whole heart. Give it to him. It is his, both by creation and by redemption. He asks for your intellect. Give it to him. It is his. He asks for your money. Give it to him. It is his. Ye are not your own, for ye are bought with a price. God requires the homage of a sanctified soul, which has prepared itself by the exercise of the faith that works by love to serve him. He holds up before us the highest ideal, even perfection. He asks us to be absolutely and completely for him in this world as he is for us in the presence of God." Acts of the Apostles, page 566. If this statement is true, and I believe that it is, then God is interested in each one of us and in our habits. Pathfinders, we have a high calling, not only as pathfinders, but as youth in the church. We are the future of the Adventist Church. We need to build our relationship with the Lord so that we can be witnesses for God and reflect him in everything we do. He calls us, not only as pathfinders, but as a church, to a high ideal, to represent him in this world and to be a witness for him. Now, I know that may seem like a really high calling, and I often wonder, well, how do I reach that? How do I achieve that calling? How do I get to really know the Lord so I can represent him and be a witness for him? Today, I would like to suggest some ways on how we can achieve that calling. This Pathfinder year, the theme was Life Apps, Habits, and that was the logo. Now, the verse Matthew read today was the theme verse that went with this theme. So, what are habits? The dictionary gives this definition: a disposition or condition of the mind or body acquired by custom or a frequent repetition of the same act. Habit is that which is held or retained, the effect of custom or frequent repetition. Hence, we speak of good habits and bad habits. But is that really what the word habits means? Now remember, I said it's habits, not what you think. This is the dictionary definition, but it's not the Southeastern California Conference's definition. They have taken and broken down the word habits to mean different things that have to do with our walk in relationship with the Lord. So, what are these habits, and do we have them? And how do they affect our walk in relationship with the Lord? We're going to go through each letter and habit and see how they're going to affect our lives as Christians. H, hanging out with God, hang time with God. Now, obviously, this one should make sense. We all know that if we hang out with our friends, we're going to start acting like our friends. For example, you are going to tell the youth class at this church apart from any other youth class. Now you may be thinking, how? They're all youth. You will know the Fallbrook Seventh-day Adventist youth class by one word. If you hear somebody that goes to youth say, mercy, you are going to know that we spend time with Pastor Jeff. Mercy. obviously, when you hang around with something or somebody, you're going to start talking like them. Now, Pastor Jeff is not the only example here. How many of you have been to the Wild Animal Park, or Safari Park as it is now called? Okay, a lot of you. I'm sure if you've been there, you've been to the bird show, where a little bird named Congo is the big star. Now, you might be going, okay, what's so special about Congo? It's a bird. Congo is an African gray parrot that happens to mimic things in his environment. But his environment isn't a forest or a jungle or any outside place. It's the office backstage. Therefore, he mimics the telephone, the water cooler. Somebody has a cold, so he starts sneezing. Now, you may be going, okay, well, what does Congo have to do with the sermon? Why are you bringing up Congo? I'm bringing up Congo because we are all a little like Congo. No, I don't mean we can imitate telephones and make people answer phone that didn't even ring, but the fact that we imitate things in our environments. We imitate all sorts of things, like, oh, that person's wearing their hair this way, so I need to start wearing my hair that way. Oh, that person has got the newest fashion, I should get that same fashion. We mimic things that are in our environment, but do those things help us to get closer to the Lord? Do they make us imitate his character? And when we're anywhere, do people see him in us with those things that we mimic? We need to spend time with God so that we're going to reflect him. But there is a way to do this. Turn with me in your Bibles to Jeremiah 29:13. Jeremiah 29:13. And you will seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart. We need to put all of our heart into looking for God and spending time with him. Just like with our friends, we put our whole heart into spending time with them, we need to do that same principle with the person who should be our best friend, Jesus. I would say that this first habit will help immensely in our walk and relationship with the Lord. And I challenge us to practice this habit every day and try to spend more and more time with God so that we will become more and more like him. But we can't do this on our own. Which brings me to our next letter. A, accountability with other believers. We're all connected to one another like these little people are in a circle. We are all connected. Now you may be asking, what does accountability mean? That is a pretty big word. The dictionary puts it this way: responsibility to someone or for some activity. In this case, I'll combine that, and it will say responsibility to someone for an activity. Now, we all have lots of friends, and we tell them things like, this week I'm going to run 2 miles. Will you make sure that I run it? Will you call me and remind me, you're running 2 miles this week? We tell them things and ask them to hold us to that. And pick people who remember. Ask my mom. She'll tell me to remember something. Like, I put my camera here, and she asked me, where was it? I'll go, I don't know. But we need to be accountable. Now, in the Reading Remnant program here at our church, that was one of the things that they put down to help you stay reading, was to tell a bunch of your friends, hey, I'm doing this plan, and I want you to help me stay with it. Call me and just ask me, what did the Lord show you today, or what did you read? Just make sure that I stick with it, that I just don't forget about it. Now, it's good to have verbal accountability, and it's a great encouragement, but there is also encouragement from seeing people do something that you have a goal of doing, but you may be slipping, but that person may still be doing it. For example, in our Pathfinder Club, we do a lot of camping. And oftentimes in the morning, it can be freezing cold. But what has been an encouragement to me this year is every morning, it may be pitch black still, but I will be guaranteed to wake up or turn over, and Emily will be sitting, reading her Bible, doing her plan. Before she goes to bed, she will be reading. And it encourages me, because when we're camping, I'm in my sleeping bag, and it's freezing cold, and I don't want to get out until I absolutely have to, which means I might just sacrifice spending that time with God, which I shouldn't. But Emily is up, sitting on top of her sleeping bag, not inside of it, keeping warm, but on top, spending that time with God. But Emily's not the only one. It has been a major encouragement, I know, for some of the staff even, that have mentioned it to me, that Raul and Abraham will spend time reading their Bibles together, or Desire of Ages, having that quality time with the Lord as well. And it has been a great encouragement for me personally in my walk with the Lord. So accountability and encouragement with other believers will help us immensely in our walk with the Lord. B stands for Bible memorization. Now, thankfully, the Lord knew that we were going to need a guidebook in our life. He didn't just let us not have one. He gave us a guidebook in this, the Bible. But if we memorize scripture, it will help us succeed in our walk with Him besides just reading it. There are many scripture verses that help me in my walk where I'm feeling discouraged about something, and I'll just have this random verse pop into my head, and I'll go, wait a minute, why am I discouraged? God's with me. When I'm feeling happy, I'll still have a verse that will pop into my head sometimes that will remind me that God's always there for me. Now, this may seem like a mushy analogy, and for all the Pathfinders on the front row, I do not know this from experience. But this analogy fits. When you're in love with someone and they send you a note, if they're far away from you, or even when they're close, like in the same town, you read it enough times that you memorize it, and pretty soon it feels like they're right next to you, just talking to you, and you don't have that piece of paper. God has sent us a great love letter in the Bible. And if we read it enough, every day we're going to start memorizing it, and pretty soon it's going to seem like He's right next to us, just talking to us. Memorizing scripture will help us in our Christian walk. And it says so in the Bible. Turn with me to Psalms. Psalms 119, and for those of you who are worrying, we're not going through the whole book, but Psalms 119, verses 9 through 11. How can a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed according to your word. With my whole heart I have sought you. Oh, let me not wander from your commandments. Your word I have hidden in my heart, that I might not sin against you. Notice that phrase, your word I have hidden in my heart, that I might not sin against you. When we memorize scripture, it will become a safeguard for our heart and make sure that our heart is available to things that the Lord wants us to learn. We need to memorize to help our relationship with the Lord. I, involvement with the church. Now, there is a story behind this picture that fit, which is why it's on this slide. And I will encourage you to ask a Pathfinder the story behind this slide, because this is where we learn that we work together, no matter what. Getting involved will get you working for the Lord, and that is something that is powerful and terrific. It will also help others. You can get involved with Pathfinders. It'll give you a boost and a satisfaction of helping others, as well as a chance to form a partnership with the Lord. I am sure that Pathfinders could use help next year, and you're never going to have a dull moment with this club. Turn with me in your Bibles to 1 Corinthians 12. Now, I'm sure this is a chapter that many of us have heard, but it proves a point. 1 Corinthians 12. Verse 20. But now indeed there are many members, yet one body. And the eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you. Nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. No, much rather those members of the body which seem to be weaker are necessary. And those members of the body which we think to be less honorable, on these we bestow greater honor, and our unpresentable parts have greater modesty. But our presentable parts have no need. But God composed the body, having given greater honor to that part which lacks it, that there should be no schism in the body, but that the members should have the same care for one another. And if one member suffers, all the members suffer with it. Or if one member is honored, all the members rejoice with it. Now you are the body of Christ and members individually. Now, Paul here is comparing the church body to our bodies. Now we all know our bodies are pretty complex. But if we have one little thing that's not working, our bodies aren't going to be able to work at their highest potential. I know that from experience. When I had a broken arm, nothing seemed to work at its highest potential. First of all, this arm just didn't want to work because it hurt all the time. So other parts were affected. The same thing should apply to our church body. When somebody's sick or when somebody's had a death in the family, then it says that all the members need to suffer for that person. We need to sympathize with them. Likewise, when somebody's baptized or when somebody has a birthday or has a new baby, we're rejoicing with them because of their honor. Now, you may be sitting there going, well, I don't always feel that. There's an example. Let's say we're camping, and I'm here busy hammering in a tent peg, and all of a sudden the hammer slips off and I hit my little finger against the tent peg really hard. Now, all my friends are going to be around me, so I'm going to be going, I'm fine, it doesn't hurt, I'm good. But in reality, I'm going to be going, ow, that hurt. I'm going to feel it. Likewise, sometimes there's people in the church who don't always show their feelings. They keep them inside, but yet they are still suffering with the church or rejoicing. We are all connected. Just like my little finger isn't that important, but it affects my body, so it applies to this. Now, we are all part of the church body. Just like the smallest muscle is vital to our body's working and is needed, so is each individual who has the smallest talent. The youth class was discussing talents last week, and we learned that no matter what our talent, we are needed to help our church body function at its optimum performance. Whether it's cooking soup, now you may be sitting there thinking, cooking soup? How is that going to help the church work? But cooking soup, to take to somebody who's sick, if you make excellent soup, will show that person who's sick or whatever is going on, that the church is missing them and that we care about them. If we didn't have somebody taking soup, then that person might soon lose interest in the church and wander away because they thought we didn't care. So you and your talents, no matter what size, are needed to help the Lord. T stands for tithing. If we give back to the Lord, he'll bless us. And we have this promise in Malachi 3:10. Now, you're all thinking, okay, we've heard that. Heard that all the time. But I want to read it again. Bring all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house. And try me now in this, says the Lord of hosts, if I will not open for you the windows of heaven and pour out for you such blessing that there will not be room enough to receive it. If we give back to the Lord, he promises to give us so much blessing, we're not going to have room to receive it. When we see all the great things God can do for us, we're going to want to follow him more. T can also stand for trust. Tithing is all about trusting God. I'm sure you can think of many examples of stories of people who have had just enough to pay tithe. They've debated whether they should buy groceries or tithe, and they pay the tithe, and they've gotten money from various sources, but the Lord has provided for them. But trust. Trust is a huge part of having a relationship with someone. If you can't trust your friend, then you're not going to want to spend time with them because you don't have that trust factor. Now, I'm sure all of us from like kindergarten up have heard all the time, you need to trust God. God knows what's best for you. But it didn't really sink into me until this year. Now, as a senior in high school, you've got the push of, where are you going to go to college? Then you have to fill out applications. Then you have to worry about, am I going to get accepted? That's worry enough for anybody. But I will always remember the lesson that God taught me this year on trust. I had taken my SAT, and the college I had applied to, either something had happened, and they kept telling me, we need your SAT scores, otherwise we're not going to be able to accept you because we need those scores. They're vital. And it was just making me worry all the time. And I was sitting in the living room one day, and we had a CD going on. It had a song. It was saying that God wants to hear us sing in the bad times as well as the good. I was going, okay, well, I get the good times. But then all of a sudden I went, wait a minute, when you're praising God in the bad times and singing, that shows that you trust him enough that no matter what is happening to you, you know he has a plan. And so you can praise him because he has that plan in motion already, even though you don't know it. So I instantly went, okay, Lord, I'm worrying about this, and I shouldn't be. I'm just going to give it to you and let you take care of it, and I'm not going to worry about it anymore. Right after I had done that, the phone rang, and I picked it up, and I said, oh, this is the College Board. We contacted Southern. They've gotten your scores. They just haven't put them into the computer that they've gotten them, but they have your scores. I went, oh, thanks. I didn't think anything of it anymore. A week later, I got my acceptance letter to Southern Adventist University, and it had been written the very day I had given them my problem to the Lord. That taught me right there that no matter what, I can trust God. So trust is a huge part of having a relationship with him. S stands for studying the scripture and spirit of prophecy. Now, the conference only has studying scripture, but I think it needed to have spirit of prophecy added, so I added it. Now, how many of you are doing the Reading Remnant plan? Okay, for the visitors that might not know, our church has a plan, a reading plan of various different items like reading through the whole conflict series or reading through your Bible or reading your Bible in a conflict series. We have various plans. And if you're interested, there should still be some in the foyer. But how many of you doing the plan have been blessed by it? I know it has blessed me. When I was younger, I never enjoyed the thought of reading my Bible through. It just didn't interest me. So when we started that, guess what plan I picked? My daily bread, reading the Bible through in a year. Now, when I was younger, I tried to, but every time I hit Leviticus, I'd be like, this is getting boring. I don't want to read this anymore. And I would stop. But as I have been reading my Bible through this year, I've made it to Psalms, I'm enjoying it, I have learned a great deal that I didn't know about my Bible. And I've also seen how great a God we serve. And it also makes me want to spend time with him more and more. It makes me wake up in the morning with a thought of, what are you going to show me today, Lord? What lessons do you have for me to learn? We're going to be blessed by studying the scripture. And we have this promise, and it is found in Revelation 1:3. Revelation 1:3. Blessed is he who reads, and those who hear the words of this prophecy, and keep those things which are written in it, for the time is near. In the times that we're living in, we need to be able to study scripture in spirit of prophecy, so we're going to know what we're going to have to face. what we believe, what the warning signs are going to be for when we need to leave, various things, but we're going to be blessed by it. So, we've now come to the end of our letters and habits, but there is one more habit that I think we need to especially add. How many of you were here for Pastor Goya's presentations on prayer in February? It was amazing to hear all those powerful miracles that happened to him, wasn't it? Now, those miracles are amazing, but just like those miracles are amazing, prayer is amazing and powerful. There's a quote from Mrs. White that's one of my favorites on prayer. It says, "Prayer is the opening of the heart to God as to a friend. Not that it is necessary in order to make known to God what we are, but in order to enable us to receive him. Prayer does not bring God down to us, but brings us up to him." Steps to Christ, page 93. Now, I'm sure we're going to agree that prayer is powerful. And just the thought that we can talk to the creator of the universe as to a friend is amazing. One thing that stuck out to me, though, from those meetings was the time limit. How many of you remember the time limit he said you had to pray for? Was it 1 hour, half an hour, 2 hours, 10 minutes? No, he said to hold on to God and not let go until you had peace in your heart from him, even if it took all day or night. I would challenge us to make that a habit. We need to spend time with God enough that people can see him reflected in us and that it will enable us to be witnesses for him. We have a great story to share as a church, and we need to share it. But we can't do it without him. We need to ask him to bless us so that we can share him. There is a song written by one of my friends, Randy Falkenberg, called "Bless Me." And the chorus has words that you and I need to hear and apply to our lives. It goes as follows. "But I know you're here listening, and I will hold you tight. Till you rescue me, set me free. Though I'm beaten, bruised, and battered, I still have just enough strength to hold on to you, and I won't let you go till you bless me." I challenge each one of us to make that our prayer, that when we are feeling beaten, bruised, when the devil has got us battered down to our lowest point, that we're going to go directly to God and tell him, "I have just enough strength left in me to hold on to you, and I'm not going to let go of you until I have the peace that can only come from you and strength to go on." When we do that, we're going to be able to stand through whatever may come our way because we've got someone who's bigger than all of our problems that's helping us. Prayer is important, especially in the times that we are living in today. It is more important than brushing our teeth in the morning. Now, brushing our teeth is important to us, just like getting sleep regularly, eating, everything that we do on a regular basis in our lives that we think is important to us. Well, prayer is more important than that. We need to make prayer regular in our lives, just like brushing our teeth. We need to spend time with God, holding on to him and not letting go as our last habit. That is something that we need to make part of our lives. So, habits, spending time with God, hang time with God, accountability with other believers, Bible memorization, involvement with the church, tithing, trusting God, studying scripture and spirit of prophecy, and prayer. Those are the keys that are going to help us have a deeper relationship with the Lord and walk with him. If the Lord has convicted you today that you need to make these habits yours and that you need to spend more time with him in prayer and just really have a closer walk with him, then I would invite you to stand for prayer. Father God, thank you so much that you have given us the Sabbath, a day to spend with you, and not have to worry about the cares and troubles that we go through in our daily lives. And we are standing today because we want to have a deeper relationship with you. we are saying, Lord, we want to make these habits our own and get to know you so that we can represent you in this world. But we also know, Lord, that we can't do this on our own, so we are asking you to help us. Help us to remember these habits and help us long for you. And be with us as we go through the rest of our day. Help us to have received many more blessings today that you have for us and to have a good day with you. I ask all these things in your name. Amen.